At this time, you're invited to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26. From the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, David is hiding in the hills of Hakilah, which is opposite Jeshimon. So Saul rose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, with 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul encamped on the hills of Hakilah, which is opposite Jeshimon, beside the road. But David remained in the wilderness. When he learned that Saul had come after him into the wilderness, David sent out spies and learned that Saul had indeed arrived. Then David set out and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, with Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army. Saul was lying within the encampment, while the army was encamped around him. Then David said to Amalek the Hittite, and Joab's brother, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, "He will go down with me into the camp of Saul." Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the encampment, with his spear stuck into the ground at his head. And Abner and his army lay around him. Abishai said to David, "God has given your enemy into your hand today. Now, therefore, let me pin him to the ground with one stroke of the spear. I will not strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can raise his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him down, or his day will come to die, or he will go down to the battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. But now take the spear that is in his head and the water jar, and let us go." So David took the spear that was at Saul's head and the water jar, and they went away. No one saw it or knew it, nor did anyone awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. Then David went to their side and stood on top of the hill far away, with a great distance between them. David called to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, saying, "Abner, will you not answer?" Then Abner replied, "Who are you that calls to the king?" David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? Who is like to you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy the lord the king. This thing you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not kept watch over your lord, the Lord's anointed. See now, where is the king's spear, or the water jar that was at his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, my son, David?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he added, "Why does my lord pursue his servant? For what have I done? What guilt is on my hands? Now, therefore, let my lord, the king, hear the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred up you against me, may he accept an offering. But if it is mortals, may they be cursed for the Lord. They have driven me out today for my share in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' Now, therefore, do not let my blood fall to the ground, away from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea, like one who hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have done wrong. Come back, my son David, for I'll never harm you again. because my life was precious in your sight today. I have been a fool and made a great mistake. They replied, Here is a spear, O king. Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards everyone for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, but I would not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. As your life is precious today in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he rescue me from all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be you, my son David. You will do many things and will succeed in them. So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. My friends, as the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about David and Saul. Now, for the past few chapters, David has been what I call the Robin Hood of the years of his life. He and his merry band of warriors have been living out in the woods and the forest and the wilderness, hiding from King Saul. And from time to time, King Saul and David get awful close. There's a situation a few chapters back that's similar to this, where King Saul was out in the woods and he used the restroom, went to a cave, and unbeknownst to him, David was in that cave, and he snuck up and actually cut off a piece of Saul's garment. And using the point of, I could have killed you, but I didn't. And Saul, bless his heart, he would straighten his act up, and then he would backslide. And he straightened up and backslide. And, you know, he was, after the Spirit of the Lord had left him, he was all messed up. And he was off again, on again, just backwards and forwards. And I'm sure that you know folks in your lives you met who you look at and think, well, I think they're doing better. And then the next week it's like, no, they're same old, same old. The next week they're doing better. Or maybe a month goes by, a year goes by, and it's that roller coaster. And it's hard to watch people do that, especially the ones you love and respect. So here we have a situation where this folks come to Saul and say, we got a tip for you. And we know where David is hiding out in the hills. So Saul goes out, 3,000 of his men, camp out. And so David sends out his spies. And so here they are, sneaking through the woods. And again, I think about like Robin Hood, they're looking around the trees and such. And like, oh, there's the army and there's King Saul. And they come back and they say, yeah, we found him. And Saul's in the middle of the camp, asleep, army around him. And then David, being the daredevil he is, he turns to his buddies and says, I got an idea. Who wants to go with me down to Saul's camp? And this one guy says, I'll go with you. You know. Now, let's think about this. This is like in our culture saying, he wants to go along with me and bring him to the White House. See if he can climb that fence or maybe dig under the fence, you know. Or maybe find that little secret entrance, you know, get in the White House. Or, you know, pull up and say, we're here to deliver a pizza or whatever, and sneak in, okay? Now, you may have seen movies like National Treasure, they get in the White House. Or there's a movie where, you know, Clint Eastwood was sneaking in the White House when and Gene Hackman was the president. It makes for a fun movie. But in reality, you know, like, they're very strict about who goes to the White House. And I've been told, like, you want to go to the White House, you got to apply for it in advance. And then you find out at the last minute you can go on this day. And sometimes you get disappointed. It might be shut down that day. You're just out of luck. So, David is like, come on, let's see what we can do here. So here's the commander-in-chief with his army surrounding him. And David and his sidekick slip past the guards, the sentries, and they get right next to King Saul, who's on the ground fast asleep. And by Saul's head is his spear, kind of like in our culture, having your shotgun, you know, by your head, by your pillow. There's his water jug. And now, so there's David wide awake, and there's his buddy, and there's Saul asleep. knowing what's going on. It's clueless. And Davis Bay says, "Hey, boss, here's our chance. Give me the word, and I'm going to pin him to the ground like a little bug. And I only need one try. I don't have to do it twice. I'm going to be the end of this." Now, if that sounds familiar, you may recall not once, but not twice, remember? Saul threw a spear at David at the dinner table, right? They're at the dinner table eating, and Saul got mad, threw a spear at him, and they're like, "Miss me." And on one occasion, Jonathan was at the dinner table, and when he said, "Well, Dad, what did David ever do to you?" And Saul got mad, threw a spear at him, and Jonathan had to duck. You know? David could easily say, "Hey, this is the guy who twice tried to spear me to the wall, tried to spear my buddy to the wall, his own son. He had it coming. He deserves this. This is what he gets." But what does David say? "Do not destroy him." Why? "For who can raise his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" You know, regardless of how much he messed up, the fact was that Samuel went to Saul and put the oil over his head and anointed him as king. And David said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him down, or his day will come to die, or he will go down to battle and perish." David said, "The way I see it, he'll win one of three ways. Either God will zap him from all this craziness, or he'll just die of old age and bad health, or he'll go into battle and he'll get killed. One of those three things will happen. The Lord forbid that I should raise my hand against the Lord's anointed." But now let's take the spear that's at his head and the water jar and let's go. And so David took the spear of Saul's head and the water jar and then went away. Now, and when I was reading that, I was reminded that, again, I mentioned that Clint Eastwood movie where Gene Hackman was the president. And if you remember that, the president had committed a very terrible act. And Clint Eastwood sneaks in and puts the knife, the murder weapon, inside the White House so everybody can find it. And that scares the president, realizing he's been caught. Well, here, he sneaks into the White House and sneaks out with the weapon. And it says, "No one saw it or knew it, nor anyone awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them." So, yeah, imagine the situation. Here's the whole army, Secret Service, the CIA, FBI, they're all fast asleep. And so when Dave got to the other side where he was safe, on top of the hill far away, great distance between them, he yells out to them, "Abner, Abner, wake up." "Will you not answer?" And Abner's like, "Who are you that calls to the king?" You know, like, "Who is this?" And they replies, "Are you not a man? Who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not kept watch over the Lord your king? For one of the people came in to destroy the Lord the king. These things you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not kept watch over your Lord, the Lord's anointed." So David, he kind of lets Abner have it. Says, "Who are you? You're supposed to be head of the Secret Service, looking out for the king. And yet somebody came in and almost killed the king. What were you doing?" You know, when you're the president's bodyguard, that's serious business. You're supposed to be on top of stuff. You can't be loose. You know, I mean, one of the biggest scandals was when President Lincoln was at the Ford's Theater. Bless you, knock at the door. And, "Oh, I'm an actor. Oh, come on in. The president loves to talk to actors." Big mistake, wasn't it? This guy was asleep on the job and allowed David to get right next to the king. And David says, "See now, Where is the king's spear or the water jar that was at his head? And I'm sure everybody turned and looked, and they had to think, uh-oh, the boss always has his spear by his head when he's sleeping. Always has a water jar. Where are they? And Saul, the mirror is dark, he's not recognized of his voice. So he asks, is that your voice, my son, David? And David replies, it is my voice, my lord, O king. Why does my lord pursue his servant? For what have I done? What guilt is on my hands? Saul, why are you chasing me? What have I done to you? And he ends by saying, now therefore, do not let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea, like one who hunts a partridge in the mountains. Yeah. Like you're launching this big old manhunt in the woods to find one person, me. And Saul says, I have done wrong. Come back, my son David, for I'll never harm you again, because my life is precious in your sight today. I have been a fool and made a great mistake. And so, at least for a few moments, Saul is repentant and realizes what a fool he's been. And David replied, here's a spear, O king. Let one of your young men come over and get it. Now, notice this. David did not walk back over to hand the spear to Saul, did he? No, we got to be careful. Use caution. Don't put yourself in a position where you can be harmed by folks. Folks who may one minute say, I'm sorry, I was a fool, and then can turn their temper and hurt you and harm you. And listen to this. The Lord rewards everyone for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, but I have not raised my hand against the Lord's anointed. As your life is precious today in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he rescue me from all tribulation. Saul, I spared your life. Your life is precious. May you spare my life. May my life be precious. Then Saul said to David, blessed be you, my son David. You will do many things and will succeed in them. And isn't that strange how Saul blesses David and says, blessed are you, and says, you will do many things and will succeed in them. And so David went away, and Saul returned to his place. And I wish I could say that from that day forward, Saul got his act together, but he didn't. He kind of went back and forth. But I think there's an example for here in us. What do you do when you're in a position to harm your enemy? How do you respond? It'd been so easy for David to say, get him. I've been in this. He deserves it. He tried to kill me twice, tried to kill Jonathan, and there's a previous story I skipped over where Saul killed a bunch of priests that he was angry with. He deserves it. And David said, no, if he's going to die, either the Lord struck him down, or he died of old age, or he died in battle. No. What did the Apostle Paul write? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. When we're tempted to get even with somebody or take preemptive action, we need to remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If you truly been wronged, let the Lord fight that battle for you. And I can assure you, he can strike more vengeance and do it correctly than you thought about doing. And so for us Christians, how do we respond to those who are mean to us and ugly to us? Well, let's see what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. I'll start with verse 38. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you in the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I want to clarify that it is true in the Old Testament. It says, love your neighbor. It does not say anything about hating your enemy. That's not in there. That was something people added on to it. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, when David was there and that King Saul fast asleep, he could easily grab Saul's spear, pin him to the ground like a bug, and say, he's done, he got it, he deserved it. Try to pin me twice, try to pin Jonathan once, he killed a bunch of innocent priests, he deserved this. But David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Let the Lord handle this. And then Jesus told us that when he came to our enemies, the enemy is someone who's out to get you. Someone who will seek to do you harm. Might be through gossip. Might be financial harm. They might try to beat you up. Maybe social harm. They just kind of run you down from their folks. Doesn't matter. Anyone who is trying to harm you or your loved ones is your enemy. But you know what? You have a choice whether or not you'll be their enemy. That's on you. And so the saying back then was, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. And again, love your neighbor is in the scripture, not hate your enemy. In fact, the law of Moses said, if you saw your enemy's donkey, you're supposed to take the donkey and bring it back to your enemy. That's what the law of Moses said. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? So you may be children of your Father in heaven. When you're a child of God, you don't pick up the baseball bat and get even somebody. You don't slash their tires. You don't get on the phone or on social media and run them down. Do a little whisper gossip campaign. Nope. I'm going to love and pray for them. And then he gives an example. Your heavenly Father makes his sun to rise on evil and good and sends rain upon the righteous and unrighteous. Yeah. Now, we've had a lot of that the past few days, haven't we? Be nice, sunny one moment. In the morning, in the afternoon, it looks like it's midnight. It's downpouring, lightning, thundering, raining. But you know what? Every farmer needs rain. Every farmer needs sunshine. The Lord sends the rain and sunshine on good and evil. And then he asks, if you love those who love you, does that make you any better than non-Christians, non-believers? If you're nice to those who are nice to you, aren't you just acting the same way they act? Then verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. And I think, Lord, that's a tall order. Well, I think he knows that. But that's what we strive for. Lord, change my heart, work with my spirit. So not only do I love my friends, my families, I love my enemies. that when they persecute me, I pray and I love for them. And Lord, if I get in a situation like young David there, where my enemies right in front of me and I can just get back at them. Lord, give me the grace to say, no, that's not my job. That's the Lord's job. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I let the Lord do the vengeance. He's the judge and the jury. I'm just a witness. I'm a witness to his goodness, his grace, his mercy. And maybe by that, they'll change your life. If not, I've done what I could, and that point is between them and the Lord. Love your enemies and be holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. Thanks be to God. Amen.